Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 53 degrees under beautiful blue skies. Today is Friday, June 22nd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Regional Native Corporation for Southeast Alaska holds its annual shareholders meeting tomorrow. Sea Alaska Corporation has about 21,000 shareholders, many living outside the state. Tomorrow's meeting is at Juneau's Thunder Mountain High School. It begins at 10 a.m. with a shareholders' fair and comments from board of directors candidates and both sides of a term limits resolution. The meeting also includes a business report and election results. It ends at about 5 p.m. with a question and answer session for shareholders. Critics say the hour plan for that session is too short and is an attempt to muzzle opponents. Corporate officials say it was just an estimate and will run longer if needed. Sea Alaska's annual meeting will be webcast live through the corporation's website. Only shareholders can attend the meeting in person or on the internet. You can find links to the full meeting schedule and a slideshow from last year's meeting in Haines at our website, kcaw.org. There is turmoil in Wrangell. Citizens there voted Tuesday to recall almost the entire board of directors at the city's hospital. The very next night, that board had one last meeting during which they fired the hospital CEO. Doing so entitles him to a $1.2 million severance package, something that did not please many members of the public. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has more.
Many community members attending last night's meeting were outraged by the board's decision. The motion to terminate the hospital CEO was not listed as an agenda item or publicly noticed prior to the meeting. Dorothy Hunt Sweat is the lone hospital board member not included in the recall. She asked the board to reconsider their decision due to the grave financial implications it could have on the hospital and city of Wrangell.
It's like, what, $185,000 a year for 5 years and health care, and there's all kinds of stuff. That's what I'm saying. So does everybody know what they're doing if they terminate Noel Ray and what it does to the city and the hospital financially? Yes. I think everyone needs to know. I'm very confused. Of course, we haven't discussed it. I would think that's something we should discuss in executive session.
Sel Ray's salary and contract were recently altered, raising his annual pay to just over $185,000, as well as changes made to his contract that include a severance package worth more than $1.2 million. Hunt Sweat motioned to table all agenda items needing board approval, as well as matters relating to credentialing in executive session until the next meeting, to be decided by the new WMC board. Voting 6-1, a majority of the board denied Hunt Sweat's request, and continued business as planned. Board member Sylvia Edifaw motioned for the termination of Sel Ray, and member Jim Nelson seconded it. During the motion, Wrangell resident Rhonda Dawson questioned the board's decision.
How much is this costing the city with you guys firing him? A simple question. Is anybody on this board aware of what you're costing this city? Oh, man. Shame on each and every one of you.
Regardless of the public's concern, the hospital board approved Sel Ray's termination. At the meeting was Borough Assembly Member Dave Jack. Jack says the municipal attorney will be looking into the matter. At this time, the legality of the board's termination is unclear. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Charlotte Duran.
Insurance companies will have to help pay for autism treatments in Alaska under legislation that's now slated to become law. Governor Sean Parnell gave tacit approval to the measure this month by sending it back to the legislature without his signature. The new requirement only covers a portion of the insurance market for now. However, supporters see it as an important step in providing relief for parents who struggle with the high cost of autism therapy and counseling. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Petersburg parent Kari Peterson has insurance, but she says it doesn't cover her son's autism. Peterson says the disorder is defined by an individual's ability to relate and communicate with others. Her family pays out of pocket for counseling to help her son build those skills, but they can't afford some of the specialized therapy and evaluation services he needs.
One thing I've always really wanted to get for him that has been out of reach from the beginning is speech therapy services. And they're just so expensive but it's something that he's needed from the very beginning, but hasn't been able to get.
Senate Bill 74 requires that insurers cover behavior and speech therapy as well as other treatments for children with autism spectrum disorders. It does not apply to all insurance plans. Peterson is cautiously optimistic about the new law.
We pay health insurance, but we also have to pay 100% of the cost of our child's autistic treatments because health insurance refuses to cover them. That and the fact the governor didn't sign it doesn't lead me to be overjoyed about the bill, but I do think it's a step in the right direction.
The bill passed the legislature this spring with bipartisan support. Governor Sean Parnell chose to send it back to the legislature without signing it, which means it will become law late this month. In a June 12th letter to the Senate, Parnell expressed support for the measure while acknowledging concerns opponents had raised about increased premium costs for businesses. The governor ultimately concluded that, quote, the long-term cost savings of discovering and intervening in autism spectrum disorder early in a person's life justify letting this legislation become law. Anchorage Democrats Johnny Ellis in the Senate and Pete Peterson in the House sponsored the legislation. Ellis calls it a godsend for the parents of autistic children in Alaska.
There are proven treatments, medical treatments for children that get people to a higher level of functioning who experience autism, and that's a great cost savings and great for Alaska families. So it's a big step forward for these families.
The bill includes an exemption for small businesses, which was a compromise sponsors made to get the measure passed. Also, according to Ellis, the legislature cannot mandate the coverage for some groups, including state workers or self-insured corporations. However, Ellis predicts the state will adopt the coverage for employees in its next bargaining cycle, as it has with past mandates like breast cancer or prostate screening.
We're setting the ball in motion. We're setting an example. We are legislating for the portion of the market that we can legislate, and if the past is any guide, and I believe it is, state employees will follow, and that will cover a lot of families, and then major insurers that are self-insured will follow suit as well to attract and retain the best employees, to be competitive in the hiring market for good employees. So this is, it's an incremental process, but you have to do the right thing and start the ball rolling, and that's what we've done here today.
Opponents of the bill included the health insurance company Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. In comments to the legislature this spring, Senior Vice President Jack McCray argued that some of the services covered in the law are the responsibility of school districts rather than insurers. McCray wrote, quote, the proposal would add to the overall cost of health care and would be borne by insured members, unquote. According to Media Relations Manager Amy Carter, Premera still has those concerns. However, in an email response to an interview request, Carter said the company was, quote, working to implement this as smoothly as possible for our customers, unquote. Parent Kari Peterson considers the lack of autism coverage an injustice, and she says she's grateful the law at least addresses the issue. Peterson emphasizes that autism is treatable, and she says that treatment is so important because it not only affects the individual, but everyone they come into contact with.
The families have been bearing the financial burden of treating this, but it's not just the families, because, you know, if you have kids that aren't being treated and they go to school, and then the school is, you know, they're not being given the funds to treat autism. They're being given the funds to educate the child. And then they also are tasked with that without any funds for it. And also, you know, because these kids and these individuals, they ultimately end up in state services, who then we as the public end up paying, you know, not just we as the parent, but we as the public end up paying for something that insurance companies really need to be paying for.
Senate Bill 74 includes the creation of a legislative task force, which will draft a statewide plan for the early diagnosis and treatment of autism. The insurance requirement goes into effect for policies issued or renewed after January 1, 2013. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Southeast residents will have to wait until 2013 before a new independent ferry service gets up and running. Officials with the Rainforest Island Ferry say the organization's converted oil rig supply vessel will not be ready to start service between Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, South Mitkoff Island, Saxman, and Myerschuk until next spring. The North End Ferry Authority purchased the 160-foot Ashley Elise McCall from Sea Corps Marine this past March and hope to have it operating this summer. Kent Miller, manager of the Kaufman Cove-based authority, says overhauling the vessel is going to take longer than expected.
The delay has been caused by finding more work to do on the boat than we anticipated, and having to take more time to get the plans and specs ready.
The authority received a $3 million loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and spent about $2 million of that on the purchase of the ship. Miller says the remaining money will pay to overhaul the vessel, including replacement engines.
We've had to make the decision whether to, in the request for bids, ask for overhaul of the present engines or whether to use either reconditioned engines. They're called recons. It's a trade-in of an existing high hours engine for one that has been thoroughly rebuilt.
Other work will include replacement generators and the installation of a food service area. Miller says he's very hopeful that the remaining USDA loan money will cover the needed work. He says the authority is disappointed not to get started this year.
I think the feeling is that it's going to start, and that it's better to do a good job of it than to rush it.
The North End Ferry Authority is the second independent ferry operation in Southeast formed by municipalities seeking improved transportation to Prince of Wales Island. It's seeking in part to replace service offered for several years by the Inter-Island Ferry Authority. That organization now only offers a daily run between Hollis and Ketchikan. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for partly cloudy skies and warmer. Highs around 68 today, northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.